In the name of the Father and Son, Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today is the first Sunday of the blessed month of Ba'una. And the reading, as we see today, and the church in her wisdom, arranged for us that at the beginning of the Apostle fast, this is time of the this period of time, that we start with the ABC of the relationship with God. That's how to pray. And we have to understand that we are as spiritually healthy as our prayers are. Let me say this again. We are as spiritually healthy as our prayers are. There is no going around when it comes to prayers. We cannot avoid it. We cannot find other means in order to convince ourselves that we are on the right track. And this may be the only time we see that the apostles are coming asking, "Teach us, O Lord, how to pray." They have many things to learn from the Lord Christ, and He did taught them many things. But this was the thing that they understood is the most important thing, how to pray, how to connect with Him. There is no way for anyone to acquire any virtue, to live according to God's standards, or to meet what God is requesting from us while we are negligent with our prayers. So the Lord here taught them six guidelines for prayers. This is how He told them, and this is how we also ought to learn. What are these six guidelines that we learn it from the passage of this blessed Sunday? First thing is where to start. The second one, how to arrange our thoughts. The third, the right attitude in prayer. Number four, the levels of hope that we should hold while approaching prayers. Number five, knowing the ultimate gift. And number six is what to always remember. So what are these guidelines? How can we learn them? The first one is where to start. They came to Him saying, "Teach us how to pray." Actually, by approaching Him, they are praying. Any communication with the Lord Christ is a kind of prayer. So here, in order for us to pray, sometimes the answer is disappointing, but this is the only true answer. If you want to learn how to pray, you have to start praying. And this is where we learn. Though we know many things that the church teaches us, when you pray, go to your room and stand and lift up your hands and use the agbaya and say so and so. But truly, prayer is much more than what we say. It's a relationship that's very personal between us and God. We only learn it when we build our own experience. If we only hear about prayers, we will never learn it. We will hear many lessons, many things, many sermons have been given to us. I am sure that all of us heard tens, maybe hundreds of sermons about prayers. But if we do not stand ourselves and we try and we struggle, we will never know how to pray. That's why the Lord said in another occasion, when you pray, go to your inner room. It is this inner room where I lock myself in and I struggle with God as Jacob did. When I stand and I push myself against the inclination of my flesh to lift up my hands, I offer the praise and I offer myself as a sacrifice on the altar of prayers. This is where we learn the prayers. This is where we build the relationship. This is where we taste God, and then when we talk about Him, we talk out of experience. If we are not there, if the room is desolate, is the room where we should meet with Him actually is not witnessing our struggle, there is no way we can know how to pray. Even if we read the biggest book and we hear the best sermon, if we don't stand and do it ourselves, we will never be able to learn how to pray. So this is where to start. You want to learn to pray? Start praying, and prayers will teach you and your room will guide you. The second thing is arranging our thoughts. Sometimes when we stand and pray with no plan, we find ourselves do the same. We request for those people whom we care about or for personal things. God, give me so and so, protect me from so and so, give this person so and so, protect this person from so and so. But God here is teaching us that in order to stand before Him, there is a certain setup. Our minds, our thoughts should be arranged in a certain way. This is how we approach Him. That's why the Lord taught the disciples the Lord's Prayer. He didn't say to them, "Just stand before me and say whatever and everything should be fine." He taught them what to say in order to teach them where to start, how to proceed. Prayer, in essence, is an act of worship. It's a gift that we offer it to God, whom we honor and we revere. So in order for us to do so, prayer should always start with things related to Him. If you notice in the Lord's Prayer, the first three requests or prayers are noted to us. We do not stand by saying, Lord, give us our daily bread, or forgive us our trespasses. We start by saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your name is to be holy. This is something, it's a prayer and a commitment, that I am committed, O Lord. Help me that I make your name holy before everyone I meet. How the name of the Lord would be holy and how we act. The people will see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. And the second one, then we say to Him, Your kingdom come. It's a prayer for God's kingdom to come, for God to come and reign at all times. We hope that He would come today immediately. And then again, another request, I have something to do with it because I am committed, as I committed to make His name to be holy among the people whom they meet me, I also committed to spread His kingdom in the heart and mind of the people whom I meet with. Our best service is to find God a place in the houses and in the hearts of the people whom we know and whom we care about. Your kingdom come is a prayer and also a commitment. And the third one, thy will be done. I will accept, O Lord, whatever comes because I trust in you. If I approach God with anything rather than this, I'm misleading myself. If I have my own will and I want it done, God, I want your will to be done, provided that your will is my will. There is nothing we can gain out of a prayer like this. The Lord's Prayer actually is a model for a person seeking first the kingdom of God. Why? He's first asking, praying, committing himself to hallowing the name of the Lord, to make his kingdom to come in the heart of the people, and thirdly, to accept his goodwill. This is the beginning. This is how we should arrange our thoughts. The church teaches us every time we stand and pray, we give him thanks. Before we ask for something new, we have at least to make sure that we offered him the thanksgiving for what he has done with us. Number three, the Lord taught his disciples about the right attitude. What is the right attitude? Some of us approach a prayer as, I'm doing God a favor. That's why when we are upset with him, we do not pray. God didn't do this, I'm upset with him, I'm not going to pray. As if God is going, his throne is going to be shaken because I didn't pray. God will feel, oh, my son didn't pray today, what should I do to please him? Thinking this way, they are missing the point. The Lord gave the disciples afterward the parable of the friend who had someone visited him, and he wants to feed him, and he doesn't have the resources. So the only way for him is to run to another friend and ask for help. The right attitude in prayer, that I am in need. I am in desperate need. I have nothing good from myself. And I have many responsibilities to take care of. Not only speaking on the materialistic level, but also on the spiritual and emotional. Many people are dependent on me. Every one of you, there are many people are looking to him or her, waiting for something to be provided. We provide to our families, our children. We give them supposedly all of their needs, spiritually and emotionally and everything else. How can we offer if we don't have? And if we are that poor, there is only one who is rich. Then the only way for us to go and run and ask, give me, O Lord, so I can give to those people who are entrusted to me. Sometimes we suffer because we are lacking wisdom. Where we acquire it from him, how we ask in prayer. Many times you come and say, I lack wisdom. Okay, you know where it is sold. Why don't go and ask for it? I am negligent in my prayers. I am slack in it. Then you are not serious about your need. Maybe you do not believe truly that he can give it to you. This is the right attitude in prayer. I am in need. That's why I cannot give up prayer. Giving up prayer means either I think of myself, I am rich, I have it all, or I think that he doesn't have it, or he is not going to provide. This is the only options. The right attitude is this attitude of the friend who ran to his friend, asking, please give to me, I am in a situation where I need to provide, I cannot find something good in myself. The fourth guideline that the Lord taught today is the levels of hope. What do I mean by this? There are three levels of hope when we are approaching prayer. I hope God will respond because He is my Father. This is the highest level. Those people who hold this level of hope, they deal with God as a loving Father. They are born of Him in water and spirit. They are led by His Spirit. That's why they are called the children of God. They respect Him, deal with Him as a loving Father. They are so much watchful over what they do because they do not want to upset their fathers. So whenever they stand and pray, they trust that our prayers are received by a loving Father. They have full confidence that their Father is going to respond. The second level is those people who are approaching God as a friend. Means, what is the difference between friendship and approaching a father? We can imagine it. A friend is good to his friend as much as his friend is good to him. I think of myself, God will be good to me whenever I'm good to him. We have this kind of a good relationship, but it's not up to thinking of him as a father. I cannot trust so much him as a father. There is another, this is a good level of hope, where there is kind of knowledge between each other, and we can reach up to him in prayer, trusting that he's going to respond because he is a friend. The third one is this level of hope, where I do not really treat God as a father. I am not a good friend to him, but I will persist to ask from him. This is the third one. The third level is the level of perseverance. I want from him to give me forgiveness. I am not really living as a son. I am not dealing with him as a friend, but I will keep asking because this is my only hope. This is exactly what the Canaanite woman did when she kept on asking and begging, heal my daughter. I have no one but you. But you are not from my people, still I want you to heal my daughter. It is not fit to take the bread of the children and throw it to the dogs. Still, the dogs eat the crumbs. We hear the Lord say, I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Even if I do not have a hope that I am dealing with God as a son or as a friend, I still have a hope when I persevere in prayer. The fifth guideline is, what is the ultimate gift? What we truly want God to give? God said at the end of the passage today that God in His goodness is not going to spare the best gift from you. What is the best gift? It is the Holy Spirit. Do we think of the Holy Spirit as the ultimate gift? Do we ever think to ask God for His Holy Spirit working in us, renewing Him within us? Maybe many, many of us, most of us, do not think of this as the ultimate gift. If God would say today, would you take $1 million with the Holy Spirit? I'm sure that if we can answer fairly, we say, give me $1 million, I will handle it. The Holy Spirit, okay, what exactly is going to do with me? This says that we really do not understand what is the best gift that God can give. Imagine that you are in a meeting with the President of the United States, and he says, what do you want me to give to you? And after thinking, you say to him, give me $100. This is insulting to the President, simply because when you stand before a President, you ask what only a President can give. So when we stand before God, actually we should be asking for what He only can give, the ultimate gift, the Holy Spirit. The Lord says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? The sixth and the last guideline that the Lord is teaching us today, what to remember always. We ought always to remember that we are praying to a loving and a wise Father. Very important that we always remind ourselves of this. The Lord said, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Because he's a loving father, I will never approach God for a bread and he gives me a stone. I cannot ask for something good and he gives me something bad. You understand this? This is, yes, it makes sense. On the other hand, because he's a wise father, he will never give me a stone when I am in my ignorance would ask for one. Sometimes in our prayers we are asking for stones. Truly we do. We do not realize this. Maybe after many years we say, we know, this was not something good that I was asking from God. When God denies me the stone, he is not doing me something bad. I cannot be angry at him. There are many examples of prayers that God actually didn't grant, because simply this was stones. Give you examples. When John and James came with their mother, and they were asking, their mom was asking, grant my children to be on your right hand and left hand. Was this a bread or a stone? It's a stone. It's reflecting a proud heart, asking for ranks, not for the true gift that God can give. When, for example, Joseph was in prison, I am sure that he prayed that the butler will remember him before Pharaoh. He requested from him, maybe with like eagerness, please remember me before Pharaoh so he can release me. And I'm sure he prayed earnestly, God, please make the butler to remember me. Was this a bread or a stone? There was a stone. Why? Because if God granted this to Joseph, he would be freed, he'd go back to his country, and then the famine will come, and the man will die with all of his family. All of these were prayers offered from good people, but they were stones. God did not grant any of them. We can also follow the same way with Abraham and with David. Many prayers were offered and God didn't grant it simply because he is a loving father. And he can discern if you are asking for something good or not, and he will grant it now or not grant it out at all. So the Lord today is teaching us not only what we say, but also how we conduct ourselves in prayers and how we set our minds in the right direction. What we learned today is the first lesson for our spiritual struggle is to know how to pray. There is no going around this. We are as spiritually healthy as our prayers are. Today we learn it. The Lord taught us where to start, how to arrange our thoughts before Him, what is the right attitude, what are the levels of hope that we should hold that God is going to answer, what is the ultimate gift, and what we always have to remind ourselves with. Glory be to God forever and ever.